is Passion for Your Passions, a podcast about what makes life worth living. I'm Julie.
And I'm Krista. And on this episode, we're talking about Adventure Time.
Adventure Time!
Come on, grab your friends. We're adventuring. That's not right.
That is not right at all.
Come on, grab your adventure. We're going on an adventure. It's time.
No. No. This is upsetting me.
Okay. So, I have a very important announcement for everybody in the world. Yes. And this is, I am very happy, you know, for all of our thoughts in the world. You know, our people with their beautiful bodies showing off their beautiful bodies and being the general eye candy of the world. Now, there is a caveat to this.
I'm so scared. This is such a weird opening.
My caveat to this is, if clothes are meant to be for business, do not make them see-through. I need to go to work at a business setting. And I don't want the goods to be on display. I have had this happen too many times. Where do you go to buy shirts that are not see-through? It drives me absolutely ballistic.
Well, coming from someone who works at an office that it's formal business wear, I think it's because people wear layers. And so, like, the idea is you're wearing, like, six different things. So the lighter it is, the better. And, you know, through the layers, they're not see-through. Because I have a lot of see-through shirts, but I also have to wear, like, blazers and undershirts. And, like, I have to wear a lot of layers. And so I like the see-through shirts. I don't think they're just see-through because it's like, this is all we want you to wear.
Look, as some of this is like a trend thing, you know what I'm talking about, like how when the trend becomes the thing, suddenly you can't find clothes that are different than the trend.
Oh yeah, like, so right, like, now it's crop tops too, like crop top everything.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I love a good crop top on a girl who's killing it.
I'm not that girl.
I don't wear crop tops. Please stop trying to force them upon me, because really what happens for me 90% of the time is I get a shirt and I'm like, I can't wear this. I need to wear this to work or something. And you can see like too much of my stomach for me to feel comfortable wearing that at work. And, you know, everybody works in different places. Like I said, it's not like this stuff bothers me in general. It's more just like where I work, you know, I'm a chemist. I can't just be like having my stomach out. Like, I can't do that for many reasons. One, it would be dangerous.
Well, one of the things that I always find funny, because I have the same issue where I'm like, God, I can't use any of this clothing, is that you and I don't socialize like most normal people. It's like, I'm going to work. Or I have this very specific thing I might do at this month that requires this kind of clothing. But in general, like, people go out and have fun and we're just like, no. So we're either in relaxed clothes or work clothes 90% of the time. So these clothes that are trendy, it's like, I have no use for that. Even if I did think I look good in it and even wanted to wear it, I have no use for that.
Yeah, there's definitely like a subsection of clothing that I'm just like, I don't understand where you wear this to. Like, what is the occasion for this? I don't know. Like, I think sometimes like crop tops do kind of go in that to me, because like, I'm sure that they're comfortable. I'm sure that that's true. But like, even if we're talking about like a more casual setting, I just think I would feel so uncomfortable. Like if I was like going to eat or the movies or something, like, it's like, well, one, I would probably be cold. and you know, at best it would just be like, I'm trying to eat a sandwich. I'm going to get sandwich on my stomach.
Every time I sit down, my confidence goes down by 20 points because I have to look at it.
Maybe this is just a very us specific problem.
I think so. Because it's like, it's all different shapes and sizes and types of people that I see wearing these trendy clothes. And I'm just like, that's not for me. I'm not a trendy clothes person.
I'm not trendy. Pretty lame.
No, I'm pretty lame. I've always been like t-shirts or business wear. Like, there's no, no other things.
Well, since we've spent about 5 minutes now ranting about clothing and our problems, just in general, do you want to talk about Adventure Time? Do you want to talk about why, or well, how your passion for Adventure Time started?
Adventure Time! Mom, grab your friends, we go to very distant lands.
James Baxter!
I'll see you in the Nidosphere, sick freak.
You're supposed to go, what time is it? Adventure Time! But you don't know because you don't watch Adventure Time.
I have seen pieces. Probably like 3 episodes. And honestly, I don't even think I could really tell you which ones I've seen. I know that that's a weird one because I know that, like, especially for people of our age, that's like a pretty big thing that a lot of people have watched. I don't know. I just kind of like missed it altogether.
Right. Yeah. I almost missed it. I got to it a little late, but it was kind of the reason why I started is because pretty much everyone we knew watched it and no one told me to watch it. That's the other thing. Like nobody really specifically told me like, hey, you need to watch this show. It was just kind of like Luke was always talking about it, just referencing it or something like that. And so I just was like, I should probably watch this. And it was literally like on a streaming network I had and went, yeah, okay. And just decided to watch it. But I loved it. So it all worked out.
Well, that's all it takes. And of course, Luke. He's not our one guest anymore.
No. He is the prime guest, though.
He influences a lot.
Yes. We do that to each other, so.
So then, why are we talking about this? Like, why is this your particular passion, you would say?
Well, one of the things is there's a lot of branches off of this show now that I wanted to kind of clarify some of the confusion on. And then they kind of brought it back, sort of. It's kind of odd. So that's the other part is like it made me think of it because now there's these tiny off series from it. And it's just such a huge show that with winter coming up, with the fall, you're settling in. It's a good show to just pick up and watch in the background and it'll last you a while. So it's me encouraging people like give Adventure Time a shot.
Yeah, especially if you have I don't have my phone in front of me. Like I said, it just died. I don't know, like, what streaming service it's on right now.
It's on HBO and Hulu. They're kind of, like,
okay,
mixed in a weird way. I can't really explain that part, but it's all on HBO, mostly on Hulu.
So, get you some HBO Max and watch
Max out.
Adventure Time. Or I guess you could get, like, Hulu and then watch Bob's Burgers and this.
If you already have Hulu, you could start it. And then if you really love it, then, you know, just get like a month free of HBO Max and watch the pieces that are missing.
Yes. Because the whole thing with like the streaming services is crazy right now. They need to just have like a mega bundle, which I know would defeat the purpose. But I'm just tired of paying for all of it.
Yeah, you gotta congregate with people and do sharing. Like I buy 2 of them and everyone else shares with me and I share mine and like, you got to do it that way. You got to cheat the system.
I was just going to say, what else do you love about Adventure Time other than the fact that it's on streaming services?
Well, what got me into Adventure Time? So one of the things I love about Adventure Time is so with pretty much any animated series, you can definitely see the growth and the skills changing. So, you know, you watch episode 1, season 1, and then you go to season 5 and the art style is completely different, but it's not like it gradually happened. And there's all these like big changes. And that happens to Adventure Time to a degree. just because, like I said, every animated show, it does that. But the feeling of Adventure Time is pretty constant in that it's just utter nonsense. Like, a lot of what happens, a lot of what they talk about, a best way to explain it is there's an episode, it's my favorite episode, that I tell people, I'm like, watch this episode. If you hate it, just give up. I'm like, just don't watch the show. Like, you're just not gonna get it, okay? You can feel weird about this episode, but if you hate it, you're gonna hate the show. And that's the episode Son of Mars, and that's season 4, episode 15. This is one of the most random episodes. And the reason why I love telling people to watch it first is because watching this episode when you know nothing about the show, you're gonna have this feeling of like, that was so random. I feel like I don't know anything about the show and I'm so confused. And I'm assuming that if I watch the rest of the seasons, I'll get it. But then you'll watch the show and you'll get to that episode and you still feel the same way. You're like, none of this made any sense. It's so weird and random. And I love that. Like, that just is the epitome of the show, is that, like, it has so much depth and character development and quotes. It's a wonderful show. But then you still have these episodes of just, what even was that? You find it funny just because you're like, I have absolutely no idea what's going on. But everyone seems to be like up on it. Everyone else in the show seems to know what's happening and it's fine. I'm just lost completely. So I love that branch.
I was just going to say, I feel like Futurama kind of is like that a little bit. Like, where it's like, stuff carries over. And there's character development or whatever, but every once in a while you watch an episode and you're like, okay,
well, that happened. Interesting. Yeah, it's so, I'm probably gonna get the number off. I can't remember exactly how many seasons, but it's like season 1 and season 2 are kind of slow, really random, have some good stuff. It does start right away. Like, let's take Steven Universe, for example, which I will talk more in this episode about. That is a very slow start. Steven Universe has a crippling start because Steven, it's kind of like Harry Potter, where he knows absolutely nothing about this world. And so they're letting you walk through this character to figure out what's going on. And that's why it's so slow. But Adventure Time, they just, right off the gate, you're just there. There's nobody there that doesn't know what's going on. And so they just assume you'll figure it out or you won't like the show, which I do like. And the only really slow part is the character development takes a bit because you don't know the characters. And also the main character, Finn, the human, is only 12. So it's a little bit slow when it comes to actually bonding with the characters or having character development. But the actual, like, plot of the world, how it functions, starts right out of the gate. Like, you just have to run with it. You can't sit there and go, what's this? What's that? You just have to go. And I do like that. Rewatching this show is not as painful as it is rewatching other animated shows.
Do you find that you like that in general? This is kind of a weird question, I guess, but like, do you like when something holds your hand, like a la Harry Potter, where it's like a character not knowing anything about the world and then you learn through them, or do you prefer if you're just thrown in?
I prefer the secondary, but that one's a lot harder to do correctly. It's like the hand-holding is a safe bet. You can still make a wonderful world and do the hand-holding, and it makes it easier versus doing this throw-in and hoping people care enough to focus and be absorbed by it. So, for instance, a bad example, which I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for this, Mad Max. I think Mad Max is a horrible example of just throwing you in and going, you'll figure it out if you care. I don't give a shit. Like, there's nothing. It's just action. Like, if you tell me Mad Max is an amazing action cinema sequence, 100% agree. Like, watching it is, like, so mind-blowing just seeing it. If you try to tell me that plot is anything but bullshit, I will smack you. Like, it's bullshit. Like, it just doesn't. They just throw you into this world. They're like, it's apocalyptic. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then nothing makes sense. Nothing is tangible. So I think that holding your hand is a safe bet to, like, doing these open worlds. But I definitely prefer the just kind of, like, throw you in. And if they're good at what they do, if they're good at writing, if they're good at acting, so on and so forth, if all that comes together just the right way, it works a lot better to me.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting topic because I think at depending on what you're talking about, it's harder than other times because, you know, this is just something kind of, I guess, I'm interested in as somebody who likes to write stories. But if you have, for example, like a fantasy story and like it's a really like intense fantasy story, right? If you just like dive in there, like the first like chapter or two, your audience is going to be going like, what? what are you even saying? This is just like, you know, nothing. Gobbledygooky, magicy, nothing.
Yeah, it definitely requires a lot more finesse.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I would say probably like the best example of somebody who pulls it off probably is like Hayao Miyazaki, because a lot of his movies are like that. I mean, I think sometimes he'll have a character who doesn't necessarily know stuff, but like that's not really the focus. A lot of times it really just is like, here's the world.
Right.
Good luck.
You'll figure it out. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, another really good example of this type of writing would be Firefly. Firefly 100% did the whole, like, you'll figure it out when you're here. Like, they didn't do any hand-holding with Firefly. They even have, like, Mandarin thrown into their language, and they never go over what that means. It's just you keep hearing it, and then you start to figure out what it is. And, like, they say shiny, and they have all these terms, and you just know after a season, you're like, okay, I know this language. I'm with these people. Like, it makes sense. I definitely think it makes more sense in shows than it does in movies and books. Like, that's just, it's just easier that way because people are seeing it versus describing it or not describing it because you're not hand-holding and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's a lot harder to just kind of be like, and that guy had the face of a crocodile, moving on.
Which was totally normal in my world, like, yeah.
Ignore the man with the crocodile
and ignoring.
Face. I will mention this once and then never again. Bob had a crocodile's face.
Exactly.
Every time you picture Bob,
state crocodile. Yeah. So.
Okay, well, so we spent plenty of time talking not about Adventure Time. Let's get back to Adventure Time. So I think that there's a lot of people who would be confused by exactly the universe, I guess, of Adventure Time, because there's a lot of shows nowadays that look a lot like Adventure Time. So do you want to talk about some of those other shows?
Okay, this is a long, complicated thing that I'm going to try to bite-size. And I'm not going to give the right people credit. I apologize in advance for not knowing every single writer and producer's name. So the two shows that are the most similar would be Adventure Time and Bravest Warriors. So Bravest Warriors and Adventure Time were literally thought up and pitched at the same time to Nickelodeon by Pendleton Ward. And Nickelodeon rejected both. And so he went to Cartoon Network, and Cartoon Network took Adventure Time, more or less. It was like one episode was produced, and it was really it was really popularized on the internet or at a film festival, and then he did that, and Adventure Time got bought out. So then Bravest Warriors didn't happen, and they focused on Adventure Time. And along with Pendleton Ward was Rebecca Sugar. She was there pretty much from the start. She started as more of a minor writer, but like pretty much after midway through season two, she became a big part of the story, and a lot of her is in that show. Like the character Marceline is based around a lot of her life experiences, and she wrote most of her episodes. So if you're listening to this and you love Adventure Time and you love Marceline, then you should follow Rebecca Sugar's type work. Adventure Time happened first. That's kind of the big point there. And Bravest Warriors, I can't remember exactly how many years later, it became like an internet series that Pendleton Ward started but didn't really commit to, and ended up going to Phil Rindo, who was also part of the Adventure Time team, and he also went off to make other shows that I'm sure people know about at this point. But Bravest Warriors, I'm pretty sure, is only on the internet right now, and if you love Adventure Time, but want it to be even more random, I would definitely tell you to go watch Bravest Warriors on the internet. It's hilarious. It's pretty great. So the next...
Cat Bug!
Love Cat Bug.
Cat Bug's amazing.
Cat Bug is the best. So the third show that people usually associate with this would be Steven Universe, which that started coming out around season 4 of Adventure Time. And it was Rebecca Sugar's project, like pretty much only hers. It wasn't Pendleton Ward or anybody else. And actually, it consumed her so much that come season 5 of Adventure Time, she quit writing for Adventure Time and solely worked on Steven Universe. And it's like a really an tribute to how she feels about things and trying to put out like non-binary characters and trying to put out like different perspectives into a show that's animated. And it's kind of her baby. It's her favorite project. And her movie, so this is one of the things that I tell people that really connects, like Adventure Time and Steven Universe. They're not in the same world. But because of Rebecca Sugar, they do have these inadvertent ties. So as I said, Rebecca Sugar kind of wrote Marceline's storyline and Marceline's character. And there's an episode for Marceline where a song is sang called Let's Go in the Garden. And it's about Marceline and her mother. And that song is based around the same concept as the entire movie, Steven Universe movie. So they're both tied. That storyline came from the same place in Rebecca Sugar's life. And it was something that really hit her when she was a child. And so she started doing it on Adventure Time, but didn't get to finish it. And essentially created a new way of telling that story through Steven Universe movie. So they are tied in a lot of ways, but they are technically not like anywhere near the same universe or same anything. There is like an episode of Steven Universe where Uncle Grandpa's in it, which I still don't understand, but there's things like that. I'm not going to say there's not, but I would say those are the three that people get really confused about. Another mention might be Gravity Falls. There was a producer slash writer on Adventure Time that did do Gravity Falls, but they are also not connected. Over the Garden Wall has nothing to do with any of these. And the last one would be...
Does it not?
It doesn't have anything to do with any of these.
I thought, for some reason, I thought, like, man, the style's really similar. I'm kind of surprised.
Have you watched it?
A little.
It's nothing like Adventure Time where... It doesn't have any of the same feel. I don't recognize any of the names. I don't think Over the Garden Wall has nothing to do with any of it. I'm sure someone will come out of the woodwork and correct me that some like secondary producer or some shit, but like it was on Cartoon Network and that's like its only similarity.
Yeah. One time Finn was in the background of one scene.
Not even. I think what actually, if you needed to connect them, the cartoon Flapjack had... I think it was a storyboard writer that was like really secondary on Adventure Time that also did Over the Garden Wall as a really low secondary. So like, I guess there's your bridge, but there really isn't one. The last one I'll mention in case some people are asking about it, Midnight Gospel, very odd show. It is not connected, but it is another Pendleton Ward show, so it will have some slight similarities to Adventure Time. I don't think it's anything similar when I watched it, but I could, since it's the same storyboard writer, I could see other people disagreeing with me. So yeah, that's... Adventure Time is its own thing, has similar things that came out after it, but Adventure Time is the number one, the prime one who started it all.
Who is... your favorite Adventure Time character?
Ooh. I probably have to say Bubblegum because I am Princess Bubblegum. So, yeah. Whenever she's on stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's 100% what I would do right there. Like, she's just like very, she does not tolerate shit. Like, she just, oh, well, that's interesting. Kills it. Like, immediately just no... She is 0 to 10, like just all the time. She's either completely cool and just calculating and doing stuff, or she's just like flipping tables and obliterating the world. Like there is no in between with Bubblegum. So gotta say it's probably Bubblegum. Yeah. But I mentioned an episode that if you haven't seen Adventure Time and just want to give it a shot, I have two episodes. So anytime I introduce it to people, I'm like, watch these two. And then if you never want to hear about it again, I respect that. So the one I told you is season 4, episode 15, Son of Mars. Most random episode, my absolute favorite episode. And then the other episode is The Eyes, which is season 2, episode 2. It's just, to me, one of the funniest ones. And, like, my favorite quote is just Jake. The plot of it is there's this horse watching Finn and Jake, and they can't sleep, and they're trying to get rid of the horse. That's all it is. Like, that's the whole plot of the episode. And they're doing everything they can, but they can't get rid of this horse. He's just staring at them all hauntingly. And at some point, like, out of exhaustion, Jake just goes, let's just kill the horse. And Finn goes, what? And it's probably my favorite line. Let's just kill the horse. Like, he's just so tired. He's like, but I'm so sleepy. Like, he gets so animated about it. It's pretty great.
So. Well, I think if we've learned anything over these last 2 weeks, especially these last 2 weeks of us talking about a lot of cartoons for some reason.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that trend till now. It's make more cartoons that are good and possibly geared towards adults, and also make shirts that are less see-through. And this has been Passion for Your Passions.
That's a wrap. Just wrap it all up. Just like we want to wrap our bodies with clothing that's appropriate for the workplace. On the next episode, we're talking about The Rings of Power. Because we accidentally skipped Lord of the Rings this year. Whoop whoop.
Dude, let's kill the horse.
What?